Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for our consideration this morning comes from the epistle lesson in Hebrews 3. Take care, brothers, lest there be in you, in any of you, an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is written, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the word of the Lord. In 1997, 21-year-old Joshua Harris released a book entitled I Kissed Dating Goodbye, in which he proposed new biblical models for dating and courtship. This put Harris on the map, so to speak, in modern North American Christianity, and he soon was speaking at countless conferences, became pastor of a megachurch in Maryland. His voice was influential. So it came as a shock to many when in 2019 he renounced the message of his book, separated from his wife, and took to Instagram to declare that, by his own definition, he was no longer a Christian. The interim pastor where Harris had served wrote in a letter to the congregation, Josh is a beloved former pastor and friend, so this hits home personally. And, reflecting on the Apostle Paul's writings, wrote, several times Paul mentions former Christian leaders swerving from, wandering from, or making shipwreck of their faith. So while this is sad and confusing, it isn't new. But Paul's hope was for redemption and restoration. And in the conclusion of that letter, the interim pastor urged the congregation to pray for Harris and to pray for, and I quote, fresh resolve in your own fight of faith. I would urge you to do the same, to pray for Harris and to pray for fresh resolve in your own fight of faith. As today we consider the struggle of living in faith, the possibility of wandering away from God's goodness, and the role we have to play in strengthening each other, in upholding each other. Looking back into the Old Testament, as the writer of Hebrews does today, the cold, hard truth is Israel experienced God's grace and still fell. They refused to believe God would actually grant them the promised land. They lost the awe, the wonder of their deliverance. And from the distance of history, this just seems astounding. I mean, these were the very people who had seen how bad life can be. They had been crushed under the weight of slavery and then had witnessed with their own eyes The 10 mighty signs against Egypt, they had witnessed the parting of the Red Sea, the destruction of Pharaoh's army. They had tasted the miraculous bread of heaven laid out with the morning dew. They had quenched their thirst from a rock gushing in the desert. They had all these things. Yet their hearts became hard. And they swerved from the truth. It was unbelief that caused their rebellion against the Lord and the punishment that struck them. Moses told the people this very thing in Numbers 14, and Hebrews follows up with the same message. They could not enter the promised land on account of their unbelief. They could not reach their goal, the end of the way, because at the bottom of their unruly conduct lay the refusal to believe in the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there is always that same danger for us, that despite God's goodness, our hearts might be deceived into hardness and sin. After all, that's what sin does. It deceives. Sin is never what it seems. No sinner ever has sin under control, despite what they might think. And in the end, sin kills. Just as imperceptibly as arteries harden until the heart attack happens, sin works a hardening effect on faith. We can lose our sense of awe and wonder at what God has done and His works in Christ on our behalf. We can forget to be thankful for His many benefits, and the change can come so slowly and imperceptibly that you never feel the danger until it's too late. Listen again to this verse from Hebrews. For we share in Christ if, indeed, we hold our original confidence to the end. How can we hold our original confidence to the end? Crucial question, isn't it? Fortunately, there's a clear answer. Remain in the Word of God. The danger lies in neglecting the Word. Sin, the deceiver, has so many pleasant, beautiful, exciting disguises that it requires vigilant care on the part of every Christian to maintain connection with God through His Word and sacraments and personal prayers. Things that seem like innocent pastimes or even important priorities can become lethal to faith. Lethal to faith if they prevent you from being in the Word. If they crowd your calendar and keep the gospel of Jesus from reaching your ear, your mind, and heart. We need the Word like a plant needs water. We need the Word to define our deepest issues. We need the Word to confront us with the unpleasant truth about our corruption, our self-centeredness. We need the Word to summon us, to call us to return, like the prodigals we are, to the Lord, to honestly admit how and where we have failed to love God and neighbor. We need that. We need that because only then are you ready to hear that your every failure is completely forgiven in Jesus. His innocent suffering and death have paid the price. The balance that you owe God is zero. Because Jesus' sacrifice on the cross handled every bit of the debt. In fact, Jesus did not simply pay off your sin debt. He purchased you. He's taken care of all the adoption fees so that you can be part of His family. And this family is a real thing. It is part of God's plan to keep us in faith. Again, today's epistle. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another every day. Exhort, encourage with great care and compassion. That is part of God's plan to defend you and me from unfaith. The community of faith, the Church of Jesus, and all her diverse congregations exist for the distribution of God's gifts in Jesus and for giving and receiving encouragement from each other, from one another. And maybe it goes without saying, but there are only one another's in community. There are no one another's when you're by yourself. The power of Christians to encourage, to uphold one another in faith, should never be downplayed. The Bible never does. Take care not to give up the great gift of one another and the sustenance that comes when we receive and deliver encouragement to each other. There's an old story. It's told about a pastor who went to visit a parishioner who had not been to church in quite a while. He knocked on the door, was let inside. This was back in the days when the fireplace was the primary means of heating the home. So the pastor entered the room where the delinquent member was seated, and without saying a word, took the tongs, found a brightly glowing ember, which he removed from the fire and placed on the cold stone floor. Now the ember held its bright orange glow for a few moments, but then very rapidly cooled, fading to a dull gray. The pastor looked at the ember, looked at the resident of the home, replaced the tongs, and left without comment. But the point was impossible to miss. Today is the day to gather around God's gifts. Today is the day to depend on Jesus for redemption and rest. Today is the day to encourage each other in love and truth, to share the flame, to kindle the gift of faith in each other, to receive fresh resolve in your fight of faith. Would you please pray with me? Father, keep me watchful then and humble. Permit me nevermore to stray. Uphold me when my feet would stumble and keep me on the narrow way. Fill all my nature with thy light, O radiance, strong and bright. Amen.